We're live. And guess who's walking in the door?
No, I need to be here. I didn't miss you. I'm not going to lie. I said, they're running a little close today. I just thought about that.
Uh-oh. He's coming. He should be here soon.
Sure, this is one you probably don't know because Greg wrote it. So
we have sang this before, but it's been a while. And I'm going to talk for a second to give everyone a chance to open their book and for me to catch my breath. I ran up and down the stairs 3 times. That's how I stay so fit and trim, you know. What was that?
A crumb.
I had a crumb on my shoulder.
How crummy.
It's crummy. All right, yeah, this is a song I wrote a few years ago. The chorus is very simple, so if you can't sing along the first verse, just kind of listen along.
Page 12.
It's up here, honey. See, it's up here, page 12.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, take your time. You there yet? All right. You're welcome. Okay, let's give it a try.
Jesus saved.
Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary, page 7.
Just a moment, I'll join you on that chorus. I know I have that one.
Did you try playing? Excuse me? Oh, that's just on me.
We had a casualty in the reed section.
Those reeds can be dangerous. You don't ever want to get a splinter. One time my saxophone reed splintered on me and I could still feel it.
Really?
It was painful. And I had to keep playing. When you're in the middle of a concert, you can't really...
Yeah, unless you've been working on another reed, it's not like you can just...
All right, page 7. We're giving Johnny a second to get all squared away over there. Page 7.
Yeah, he's older now.
Yes, Johnny turned... 31 yesterday.
Wow.
31 years of age.
It's all downhill from there now. That's what they
trust me. It gets going faster and faster.
But I remember when that seemed old. Now not so much. Now 31, you're like, what a baby.
And you read the Genesis and you say,
Methuselah.
100.
But we're all just getting started because through Jesus Christ we have eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. I turned that into a real spiritual moment, didn't I? All right. Let's sing number 7. Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary. Stuck in your head. Sometime tomorrow you're just going to out of the blue start singing that song. 73 in the praise book. This one takes a little more oomph, a little more gusto, a little more energy. My sins are gone.
Pastor, 65 a good
song. Okay. Are you at 73 yet? That's the question. Don't get distracted.
Make sure that the title of your song is My Sins Are Gone. Yes. On the right page. You guys haven't updated your book, have you?
My sins are gone. I wish it were.
Oh, 73.
Why I'm happy, so I'll just because my sins are gone. And when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, I say, my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. 'Twas by the old-time gospel that God came in my heart, and now my sins are gone. The Lord took full possession, the devil did depart. I'm glad my sins are gone. There underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, praise God, my sins are gone. When Satan comes to tempt me and tries to break me down, I say, my sins are gone. You got me into trouble, but Jesus got me out. I'm glad my sins are gone. There underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, as far removed God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone.
That more than the last.
I'm living now for Jesus. I'm happy night and day because my sins are gone. My soul is filled with music. With all my heart I say, I know my sins are gone. They're underneath the of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone.
That's a workout.
Is that the third one already?
That's it. Time flies when you're having fun, amen?
Amen.
All right. Yep. So, those onliners, we trust you're able to hear us loud and clear. And you can get your prayer request in to bbfohio@protonmail.com. Anybody here want a prayer card? Janie would be glad to deliver. No one told me we were about out, so no.
I don't know. No more prayer requests, that's it.
Anybody want it?
We have sticky pad and a sticky note. We have these yellow sticky notes.
Go ahead. We make sure there's not any hidden in here.
Why would it say crack?
So I will. Jenny, can you send me a MeWe text reminding me to print those?
Anybody just need to make paper to work on that?
A Janie? I have yours from Sunday. If there's no changes, you could give your card to somebody else.
I don't.
Did anybody need a pen or anything to write with?
No, thank you.
Jessica, I got yours up here.
Thank you. Can you just keep hold of that?
Well, I hope there's changes that happen.
Oh, amen.
I'll keep hold of it.
Thank you.
Let's see. Jim, how's the heel? Still dealing with that. All right. Well, I meant to ask you, Jill, what was up with your sister Jackie? Well, we're on live stream. You can tell me at the prayer time. I just wanted to get some clarification on that. All right. That's that. Those of you online, as I said, get your prayer requests in by email. I guess if you're sitting here and have your phone, you want to send an email, you can. Especially since we don't have prayer cards.
It'd be safer
if the internet doesn't go out. All right, I think you got everything going on back there, Johnny.
I've got one extra card if anybody needs it.
Okay. Yeah, and look in the pews. There's people have been stashing them for whatever reason. There's your reminder to turn off your cell phone ringer after you send your... I think it's some drunk person. I'm not sure.
Or maybe a little kid.
That was a little too good to be on accident. You know what I mean? That was like on purpose, off key, you know? So just a reminder, we're down to 700 tracks down here on the bottom. The This Is Your Life. We're trying to get 1,000 out in the month of April. And Jim got him some. And Mark has been giving them out at the shows. And Jenny has mailed a bunch out. And she can tell you how to do that if you're interested. That's the lazy way of doing it.
It is not lazy.
And you can buy those envelopes. You don't even have to lick envelopes now. You know what I mean? No, seriously, it's a little work. So if you want to do that, it's not as easy as it sounds. Doug?
The laziest way to do it is the way I do it by mail. Is when somebody sends you junk mail, it's got the postage free. You stick a track in there and stick it out in the mail.
Somebody opens it.
Especially insurance companies, that's the one you want to send them to.
It works, though.
By the way, Doug and I went out with Dre Friday. Oh, yeah. You take the little rubber bands and put them on doorknobs, yeah. And if you hit an apartment complex, you know, we sat there and put the rubber bands on in the car and then put them on the doors. So it took us a couple hours. We got about 100 out, and Dre and I got 100 out.
It's fun.
And then... if you can find a Tim Hortons that's still open, you can get a coffee. Because Dre and I were looking forward to that, and then we go to Tim Hortons down the road, 2 p.m., they already closed. I'm never going to get over that. That's
poor
just...
Baby. Aww, just, at least we have them, like people out west.
So our big announcement about Bible donation is not only that we donated 58 Bibles, and so that's our April donation. Price for a Bible has gone up a little bit because of cost of paper and shipping. So now it's $6, prints a hardback whole Bible.
Oh, amen.
And, we changed, I don't want to say too much of this going out live stream, and I don't want to seem like I'm trying to make trouble. I'm not, but we were supporting a ministry that you've already mentioned before, and just all of a sudden they took their website down and changed how they're doing things, and I don't even know what they're doing now, to be honest with you. And it just so happens, I'd looked at Bearing Precious Seed for years. I know it's a great ministry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we were donating to one Bible ministry that was sending Bibles over into the 1040 window, as they call it. And they switched to the United Bible Society's corrupt text.
Oh, no.
So then we dropped them and we went with another ministry who then closed shop and moved several states away and had all kinds of issues. And that's when we went, this one we were with here recently, and now they're doing this. So
Wow. All
through that, Bearing Precious Seed has been steady.
Amen.
And faithful and like a rock.
We like
So, I'm not superstitious, but if they close down shop, we may just stop but donating Bibles because, you know, I don't want to ruin another ministry. But no, seriously, they're good. We're going to have a couple of little posters we'll put up. Our Bibles are being sent to Oaxaca, is how you pronounce that.
Wow.
Even though it's Oaxaca, but it's Oaxaca, Mexico.
Ooh, wow.
So it tells you a little information that it's known for its 5,800 miles of striking coastline on the Pacific Ocean. It's home to 18 of Mexico's 65 ethnic groups. And Oaxaca is the most ethnically and linguistically diverse state in Mexico. In and around the capital, Spanish is the major language. However, due to the geography among the central valleys, ethnic languages and cultures have been isolated for centuries. So they're getting scriptures in Spanish to anyone who can speak Spanish, but they're also getting scriptures in these other forms of the language, dialects. Yeah. Yes.
So they're doing full Bibles?
Sometimes. It's according to which, you know, they do what they can when they can. And right now we're supporting the Spanish Bibles they're putting in the area.
It says softcover Bibles or hardcover. It doesn't say just hardcover.
Well, because when
hardcover is $6. A paperback whole Bible is $3.50, but they tear up so easily and everything.
Yeah.
We try to get hardback Bibles into the hands of those we can. And what we may do this year, we usually do a kind of a big Bible month. And if we could raise $750, that pays for a whole roll of paper. And if you're wondering, that roll of paper is from the floor up to about here. And it prints hundreds of Bibles.
400. It says right on there.
You know what? Now that you've got your eyes fixed, you're going to be a pain.
This is amazing.
She's like, squirrel! You know.
But I can read all that print.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
So we'll have more to say about that, but now to date, our donations have reached 1,717 and our BBF Bibles to Missions program. So we should be getting some more quarter folders that actually have their logo and information on it, and we'll keep doing that. So we'll get into our current events update. We'll hold questions, comments to the end, please, for our current events update. Project Veritas, you ever heard of that?
Yeah.
They're real journalists. We don't have very many real journalists in this country anymore. Most of them are political hacks. But they continue to expose the Democrat propaganda machine called the news. Our so-called news media is totally an arm of the Democrat Party, which would be fine, except for the Democrats stand for murdering babies, sodomite marriage, and ending the sovereignty of this nation and setting up the UN as or some world government over us. And by the way, the elite Republicans are just as bad. So we're not partisan here. I'm not a Republican operative. And I'll tell you just as quickly about the Green Party and the Libertarian Party. And you name the party, I can tell you what's wrong with them. There's corruption in all of them. And the thing that ought to be being done in pulpits in America is instead of taking sides with one political party, you ought to just be telling the truth about all of them. But that's not happening. But CNN's been exposed by Project Veritas. A CNN director admits the network engaged in propaganda to remove Trump from the presidency. And here's some, this was the headline of part one, the video put out by Project Veritas. CNN director admits network engaged in propaganda to remove Trump from presidency. Our focus was to get Trump out of office. I came to CNN because I wanted to be a part of that. Now, don't get confused. The reason why they wanted Trump out of office is because he was putting conservative judges on that were not for killing unborn babies. They were not for making up sodomite marriage laws. They were not for taking away your guns. And they weren't for the United Nations. That's why they wanted Trump out of office. But Charlie Chester is the fellow's name. He works for CNN as a technical director. And on video, and I'm not showing the video because they didn't have it up for people to show freely. So I'm taking these quotes. He says, quote, look what we did. We, being CNN, got Trump out. I am 100% going to say it, and I 100% believe that if it wasn't for CNN, I don't know that Trump would have got voted out. I came to CNN because I wanted to be a part of that. Jeez. Truth is, they cheated to get Trump out. Mail-in voting without proper ID. That's how they won the election. But there were enough people who did vote for Biden that they were able to cheat and get him in because they tried to cheat for Hillary, too. You got to remember that. Yeah. There just wasn't enough people to vote for him to pull it off. And listen, if a network said that they were purposely trying to get Trump elected, I would be telling you the same thing. Turn them off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You tell me you're the news, you're supposed to give me the news.
Unbiased.
Now, if you have a news station with a talk show, I think Anderson Cooper, is one example. He's not a news anchor. He's a talk show host. He gives fine. But when you've got an anchor and you're telling me you're giving me news and all I'm getting is propaganda, I don't care if you agree with me on every issue. Don't call yourself news. That's what's wrong. Charlie Chester, he goes on to say, Trump's hand was shaking or whatever, I think. We brought in so many medical people to tell a story that was all speculation, that he was neurologically damaged and he was losing it. He's unfit to, whatever. We were creating a story there that we didn't know anything about. That's what I think. That's propaganda.
Yeah.
End quote. He also said, quote, we would always show shots of him, Biden, jogging, and that he's healthy, and him in aviator shades, like you paint him as a young geriatric. Wow. In other words, this guy is not healthy. He's mentally not all there. He can't even follow notes. They circled things on the page he couldn't even follow. And they sold him as healthy and everything. It's just... So now what's going to happen? Now, he says this, and I expect this, but it doesn't matter. Right now, it looks like they're trying to create another gun crisis.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, if you go do the research, gun violence is not worse than it's ever been. It's just that they choose to create the crisis, panic everybody, scare you to death. Well, they're saying now they're going to reinvent the climate crisis. He says, quote, I think there's a COVID fatigue. So like whenever a new story comes up, CNN is going to latch onto it. They've already announced in our office that once the public will be open to it, we're going to start focusing mainly on climate. Quote, it's going to be our, CNN's, focus. Like our focus was to get Trump out of office, right? That without saying it, that's what it was, right? So our next thing is going to be for climate change awareness, end quote. Now, I'm all for the environment. I believe God created the planet and gave it to us to be good stewards of. We should take care of it and all. But a lot of what you're being told isn't taking care of the planet. I'm telling you, go out and watch the Michael Moore documentary. Now, the name of it's going to slip my mind if my crack team can look it up and see what Michael Moore's...
Is that Inconvenient Truth?
No. The one he put out about the environmentalist movement showing that, for example, how many of you think solar is a good idea, right? We can harness the sun's energy, but see, the problem is they're destroying the environment in order to get the materials to make the solar panels. And then they're setting up these huge solar farms, and you can see that one after another ends up being destroyed by the weather and things, and then they just leave it, and it destroys the whole environment of the area. And it's just one thing after another he shows in this documentary that you really ought to watch.
Planet of the Humans.
Planet of the Humans. Last I checked, it was available free of charge on the internet. Michael Moore is the producer. I do not recommend Michael Moore, but I do recommend this one documentary. If Michael Moore wanted to be a force for good in this world, he could be. And in this one instance, he is. So
they're calling it a dangerous movie.
Yeah, the environmentalists hate it because he's exposing what they're doing. The founder of Greenpeace, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but look that up. The founder of Greenpeace and the founder of the Weather Channel, both those men are telling you the environmentalist movement is nothing but a front group for communists.
Yeah.
It's not about the environment. Yeah. I would stand with anybody who stood for the environment, but these guys are using the environment in order to set up a communist globalist government. And the global tax would support that. So prepping the world for the propaganda machine of the beast and the false prophet. That's what this is all about. Yeah. Right now you can see your friends and neighbors are ripe and ready for the Antichrist. In Revelation 13:12, it says, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Now, if you look at that closely, you will see that the world is ripe and ready to follow the propaganda machine of the false prophet that will cause everybody to fall in lockstep, worshiping a man as a god. Now, as he were walking on water, raising the dead, and fulfilling Old Testament prophecies the way Jesus did, worship him. That's why we worship Jesus. But this Antichrist isn't going to do that. But everybody's Bible ignorant, and they're totally being propagandized by the fake news. So it's this thing they're calling now multilateralism. Multilateralism. And what they are opposed to is what's called unilateralism. Unilateralism means the United States of America does what's right for the United States of America. And if others want to join us, we'll join with them, but not necessary. We heard it under Trump called America First.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Well, now our president is America Last.
That's right.
Yeah. And he's multilateral, a multilateralist, ending American sovereignty to build global government. They're more and more conditioning. More and more kids are coming out of the public schools and the colleges and universities crying for global government. I am a global citizen. You'll hear that all the time now. This is from the Council on Foreign Relations, a globalist, traitorous organization. They've been in business for many decades, working to undermine American sovereignty and to set up a world government. They have a magazine called Foreign Affairs. This was in their magazine. That title there you can see, What a Biden Win Would Mean for the Future of Multilateralism. This CFR official publication predicted this in October of last year, but right before the election. This is a man named Stuart M. Patrick, and it originally appeared in World Politics Review November 2nd. A Biden triumph would repudiate the America First platform on which Donald Trump won the White House in 2016, and the hyper-nationalist, unilateralist, and sovereigntist mindset that undergirds it. Now, these are all big words that mean this. A Biden triumph, which is what happened, would repudiate us, those who love America and want our nation to survive and thrive. And what a Biden triumph has now done is put in a anti-nationalist, a multilateralist, and an anti-sovereigntist, a globalist. That's what Joe Biden is and his whole administration. He continues, quote, such a stunning shift in America's global orientation would have major implications for global cooperation on everything from what? You look at the people who are employed by CNN, you'll find a bunch of Council on Foreign Relations people. This is all a big, you're a conspiracy theorist. It's not a conspiracy. It's right out in the open for anybody who'll do the research. Mm-hmm. Yep. Cooperation on everything from climate change, health, and nuclear proliferation to trade and human rights, which includes the sodomite LGBT movement, and the end of parental rights, where the government tells you what to do with your kid, as well as for U.S. relations with its Western allies. So, trust your government to be your nanny? That's what everybody who's lining up to get this shot and lining up to do everything government tells them, and line it up for government health care, and line it up for the government to take over your life. You think the government is your nanny. Well, I got news for you. Whenever that happens, your nanny will kill you.
Be a sheep.
CDC to hold emergency meeting over pause of Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine. Everybody lined up for the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. We know personally several people who suffered severe side effects after getting that shot. They have now they are putting that thing on hold all over the world mainly because of the blood clot issue. People are getting that shot, and then they're coming later on down the road, they're having blood clots. Mark could inform you of the danger of those. A few of you here have had issues, Jill. Others have had issues with blood clots. This is what it said. The emergency meeting in Atlanta comes one day after the CDC and Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, we talked about them Sunday, the FDA has been buying murdered baby body parts with taxpayer money. That's all on Sunday's current events update. The FDA and CDC called for a pause in administering the vaccine nationwide over at least 6 cases of reported clotting issues. All the reported cases involved women who'd received the vaccine, one of whom died. That's hogwash. There's been many more people with the blood clots and many more women dying from these blood clots. But what they do is they act like they're not connected. These are cases where they just can't deny it. But it's happened all over the world. So they're admitting only as much as they have to. There's a lot more to it. So meanwhile, you might want to remember this. Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, what's the other one?
Moderna.
Okay. Well.
Yeah, AstraZeneca.
We already saw Johnson & Johnson, the issue's there. 2 out of 3. This was in 2009. I was sitting thinking, I remember something about Pfizer. I could not remember it. It's an official website of the United States government, so you know I'm not making this up. The United States Department of Justice released this on September 2nd, 2009. Justice Department announces the largest health care fraud settlement in its history. Wow. Pfizer to pay $2.3 billion for fraudulent marketing. American pharmaceutical giant Pfizer Incorporated and its subsidiary Pharmacia and Upjohn Company Incorporated. I'll change that to Upchuck. Here and after, together, Pfizer, have agreed to pay $2.3 billion, the largest health care fraud settlement in the history of the Department of Justice, to resolve criminal and civil liability arising from the illegal promotion of certain pharmaceutical products, the Justice Department announced today. And I didn't want to spend time because we're already going over. But look that up and you'll see these people were crooks. They're liars and crooks. And they've lied about this vaccine. It's not a vaccine. It's experimental gene therapy. They're lying to people when they say they know it's safe. It's impossible. It's scientifically, humanly impossible to know if it's safe because it hasn't been around long enough to even know the long-term effects. And they suspended all the normal tests that you normally would do on a vaccine before you would release it to be used. So this reminds me of what I've read Winston Churchill said in 1948, I wasn't alive at the time, but he gave a speech in the House of Commons and said, "Those who fail to learn from history are condemned to repeat it." End quote. Is that pretty good?
Yeah.
And it's similar to one Santayana's 1905 quote that people quote all the time. Anybody want it real quick? We don't have a lot of time to linger in this. We got a little late start on it. Janie?
Kind of on the subject, they announced on Rural America's Voice today that his name is Dr. Ted Grace, that he's giving up his license because he knew about that one character. The one character they're talking about that had sexual accusations on him. He knew about it, and since he knew about it, they told him that he had to give up his license. So he's giving up his license because of it.
Who's he? I mean, what's he?
He has something to do with the vaccines and stuff.
Oh. Yeah. Joe, did you hear?
I was going to say, Ryan, I'll tell you about him later, went to the doctor today, and first thing they said was, "Do you want to take the vaccine?"
Oh, yeah. Every time you walk into a doctor's office.
He said, No. Only a little harder than that, probably.
Yeah. Doug?
All those green things for the environment and all that kind of stuff, they dump tons of money in it, and it always goes to the... It always goes down.
Well, that's the whole... It's a front organization, a front
loop. Where's the money going? That's what I don't
to
understand.
To push Marxism, socialism. Okay. It's a front. They suck in the money so they can spend it on that stuff. They don't really spend it. Actually, there's a lot of that you find in the humane societies and all kinds of these, the American Red Cross. You find a lot of wasted money by those groups.
When Obama was in, they dumped all that tons of money in it. Every single thing went completely down.
Well, just like this infrastructure thing. I mean, $1 or $2 something trillion and hundreds of billions of it's going to things that doesn't have anything to do with roads or railroads or anything like that. Mark?
Yeah, all that you were talking about Biden a little bit ago about the CFR, he is a heavily high-ranked member.
Yeah, most of them. Most of these guys in the Senate and Congress, if they've been a senator and a congressman, you can almost bet.
They're both.
Yeah, Johnny?
CFR,
perhaps it's fitting that they should... He tried to get us to worry about climate change, but not for their reasons, because, you know, at this rate, they're going to give us nuclear winter.
If the Lord would allow that. He's got his own plans, amen?
Amen. I believe in climate change. It's all going to burn.
Amen.
Amen.
Global warming.
Yep.
All right, let's go ahead and get into our Bible study. James chapter 1. And Johnny, if you would, open the Bible study prayer.
Freedom to come here and deal with your common sense and truth. And just pray, Lord, you'll continue to hold back or keep the government and officials from being able to do all the evil they want to do. Or you'll just hold it back until after the rapture.
Yes.
And again, just also pray that and hopefully more and more people before the end will realize they're being fooled so we can take some home with us. Pray bless the meeting tonight as we learn from your word, and pray you'll bless the fellowship afterwards. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, James 1, we're going to pick up where we left off in our previous study with verse 13 through 16. We're going to talk about the temptation to sin. It's the title. Temptation to sin. Jessica, you going to go to sleep on me back there? You look awful cozy. You're cold. You
need
women.
A blanket?
She's got a jacket.
Okay. We've got blankets up here.
Well, let Mark open your Bible for you then if you're too cold to open your Bible. We're Bible believers. We want to study the Bible. Get your Bible out. Come on. Come on.
What does it mean?
I've always said I refuse to teach people who won't open the Bible.
Amen.
I've gone to churches where people won't open a Bible. I'm like, I wouldn't even get up here and preach to them. Mm-hmm. You come to church to study this book. Amen?
Amen.
And show them your nice new Bible there, Steve.
It's
nice.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. So open that to James chapter 1. We're going to read verses 13 through 16. And I promise to get you home in time for the 11 o'clock news.
Something going to happen?
Yeah, no thanks. I'll watch my show.
Let's read the even number. I'll start in verse 13. You join in on the even numbers. And if you don't know what those are, see me afterwards. Beginning verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brother. All of you say amen?
Amen.
So this is a very simple study, but it's a hard pill to swallow. I'll just tell you right now, you can throw out most of the psychology that you've been taught, psychobabble nonsense, that you were born gay, throw it out. that the reason you sin is because your mom didn't breastfeed you. Throw it out. I mean, all this stuff you've heard. I've heard this stuff my whole life. It's a bunch of baloney. And you're going to see from the Word of God how sin creeps into your life, and it doesn't have anything to do with that. Verse 13, again we read, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." Temptation in the previous verses was a noun, and it talking about temptation, and now it's now tempted, which is a verb. So we see a change in the words, but also their usage from a noun to a verb. God allows temptation in trials. We already talked about that in depth in the previous verses. God doesn't tempt you to sin, but God will allow your faith to be tried. Man is tempted to sin by his own desires. That's where it all comes from. Again, verse 13, silent cell phones, please. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. There are people who don't mean to say that, but they do. And it says, God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So don't blame God for your sin or the consequences.
That's right.
Now, I'm going to warn you ahead of time, some of you may be thrown off a little bit by what you're hearing this evening, but it's one of the nuttiest things that Christians do. What God didn't do, God didn't cause you to sin.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. Which brought on the consequences. Amen. So God didn't cause the consequences. God didn't cause others to do bad things to you, which made life worse for you. Now, how many times, I've been there, I've done this myself. I've done something really stupid, or I just sinned, and there's consequences. And I look up and say, why, God? Why are you doing this? That prayer is nonsense.
Yeah.
It's even nonsense when, let's say, we're driving down the road, Jenny and I, tonight. We could be driving down the road, and you could get a phone call tonight or tomorrow that we've been hit head-on by a drunk driver, and we're both in heaven.
Sad.
Do not have a funeral and say, well, God has his reasons. You're lying against God when you say that. God didn't cause that guy to get drunk and get behind the wheel and slam into us head on and kill us? The Bible never says such a thing, and I hear Christians talking like that all the time. It's not Bible. Little reality check. When people sin and cause bad things to happen as a result, that is not God's work or plan.
Yep, that's right.
Look at that closely. When people sin and cause bad things to happen as a result, that is not God's work or plan. Another reality check. We don't do back-to-backs very often. We're going to do one tonight. When people make wrong choices with devastating consequences, that is not God's work or plan.
That's right.
I want to show you something. This is Romans 8:28. This verse contradicts all that nonsense. This verse says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
You believe that?
I do.
That does not say, here's how most people read that. And God causes all things to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. See what it says down at the bottom?
It says not
Romans 8:28. And a lot of Christians have been taught that God causes everything happens in your life. They're lying to you. Some of them are lying to you because they don't know any better. Other people are lying. They're just flat out lying to you because they know it's what you want to hear. What better thing to do than to sin or do something stupid and then blame God for it? Jenny?
So that's kind of like Calvinism then. So maybe that's where we hear it.
I wish I could say that. But I've heard most of this coming from non-Calvinists. Although I'm sure Calvinists say something similar too. But, I'm talking in our circles, non-Calvinists, you hear this stuff all the time. I'd say at least half of the funerals I've been to, they've lied about God at those funerals. Somebody will have died from some sin or some bad choice or disease. Hey, man, if you die of cancer, that's not God's plan. You know why you died of cancer? Sin. Sin came upon the world. Sin entered the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned.
That's right.
You see that?
Yeah.
Joe?
So Paul got esophageal cancer from smoking?
Yeah. Well, does he? I didn't know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He smoked.
That's probably a very, very important contributor. But yeah. You know, esophageal cancer can be from something that doesn't even sound like a sin. But yeah. You know, some people get it from drinking. Years of drinking liquids that are too hot.
He drank Coke too.
And then the acid drinks and things. All that combined. But the bottom line is, why is any cancer in this world today? Why is any disease in this world today? It's because of sin. And so people act like God's up there with his computer programming your life. And so that if a bird is carrying an egg and drops it from 500 feet in the air, and it comes down, hits you in the head, and kills you, God works in mysterious ways. No, it's just a fact that if you happen to be standing where that bird drops that egg, you're going to die. But here's where God comes in. God doesn't want you to go to hell. So God has done everything he can to save you so that if a bird drops an egg on Stephen's head tomorrow, he can know that he's going to heaven. Amen? Jenny and I are going to get in the car tonight with no expectation of being hit head on by a drunk driver. But if we are and we die, there's no doubt in my mind or her mind, we both go to heaven.
That's right.
That's God's plan. Johnny?
I'd say, wanting to believe that probably also comes from all those people, probably comes from your prosperity gospel thing, because people will say, well, because they want to take every single thing that happens to you.
I'm not saying that doesn't happen.
If
we're talking fundamental Bible believers, Johnny. I'm talking about the people you and I hang out with. I hear this all the time. The word faith people, what they would say is you didn't have enough faith.
Yeah.
See, I'm talking right here, you and I. Not the other guy down the road. I'm talking about right in our own churches, right in our own crowds is where I hear this all the time. And it does not say God causes all things. So again, back in verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. In other words, look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. You want to know why you sin? It isn't God causing you to do it because he's got some plan that involves you sinning. Look in the mirror. J. Vernon McGee said this: man builds too close to a river. And when, in the natural course of events, the river rises, he calls it a flood and an act of God. But man thinks it is more pleasant to build by the river, or it's nearer transportation, or that it is where the business is. It is actually the greed and avarice of man that causes him to build where it is really dangerous to build. End quote. That was one of the examples he gave of people. Where I'm from, south of where I grew up, every year there are flash floods, and every year they wash away trailers and huts and houses, and every year people lose everything, and every year people die. And you know what they do?
Rebuild.
They go back and build in the same exact place. And then when the flood comes, they're like, why are you doing this to me, God? Exactly. And on rock.
What's avarice?
It's the greed and avarice means a desire to have things, and they think it's easier, you know, all that. So verse 14 says, confirms, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. It's real hard for people to take the blame. Lust is neutral, by the way. But when directed towards sin, it's deadly. Do you know that? I want to scripture with scripture for a minute. Go over to Deuteronomy 12. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Right up there in the front of your book. Deuteronomy chapter 12. Stephen's got the little cheater things on there. I've got mine stick out and protrude, but I got them too.
But gives three numbers.
Yeah, you look for the D E U T. Yeah. You know where it's at. 12:15. This is just a strange little thing. God's talking about where he's going to pick a place for them to offer the sacrifice, is where the temple ended up being built. And verse 15, he says, notwithstanding, thou mayest kill and eat flesh in all thy gates, whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. The unclean and the clean may eat thereof, as of the roebuck and as of the hart, etc. So there's a use of the word lust, and it's not bad. Lust. Now I'm going to say something real scandalous. But if you're married, you should be lusting after your spouse.
Amen.
It's a good thing. And all the kids are like, gross. But it's true. Let's compare this to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. I remember I was a kid and I walked in the kitchen. My dad just laying a big kiss on my mom. And you know, it's weird. I didn't think gross. I just thought, that's weird. Because I just, you know, kids, you just don't think of your mom and dad kissing and being all mushy and everything like that. And I don't want to embarrass my mom. She might be watching. But it's, every once in a while, I'd see him. That was good for me to see. I knew that it's the way you ought to. You should show your affection to your wife. And the same thing true with kids. You know, nothing wrong with giving your kid a hug and a kiss. And I, you know, the Bible says give each other a holy kiss, but Doug runs from me. I can't.
Amen.
So Proverbs 6. Let me get there myself. Proverbs 6, 23 through 26. Look, it says here. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Read verse 25. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. That fellow who gets sucked in by that, he knows he shouldn't even be looking in that direction. But God's got a plan. Now, God didn't have anything to do with you going after that whore. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
He was drawn away of his own lust, just like we read in James. Let's go back to James now. You saw their lust. There's a good and a bad. And verse 15 then says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That is the process towards sin and consequences. They could have a game show, Sin and Consequences. Doug?
When you were talking about sin and stuff like that, it reminds me of Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 7, where it talks about the sin to the thousands, to the first and second and third generation. He goes to the three and four generations, and the sin, and then very fourth death.
Mm-hmm. Johnny?
What was that original show called?
Truth and Consequences.
Truth and Consequences, yeah. Okay.
A little play on words there.
Yeah, Mercy.
I've heard other jokes on that before.
You're welcome. So, tempted to sin. First, you're drawn away by your own lust. And, of course, we just settled that it's a lust towards something you shouldn't be lusting after. You're enticed. That means there's nothing sinful if there's a temptation before you. What the sin comes is when you invite it in and let it stay. And you start to think about it and almost meditate on it, and you're enticed. You're already gone too far. Then lust is conceived. So I've dealt with men who have a problem with this. Good-looking women walking down the road, and they, if I see a good-looking woman, there's a fellow in church one time. He used to say, when I see a pretty woman, I just say, Lord, you did a good job on that one. And then that he goes on. Well, okay, that's a good way to handle it. What the problem is when you see that good-looking woman, it goes beyond, oh, she's pretty. Lord, you did a good job on that one. And then you start thinking, See, you've already gone too far. You're starting, that's where the sin starts. Yeah. You're drawn away by your lust, and now you're being enticed. And then lust is conceived. Sin is born. And that then causes you to act on it. That's when, you know, a guy and a gal shouldn't be messing around, end up messing around. And then that leads to death. Now, it could be the death of your marriage. But Proverbs says a lot about a jealous husband. And there have been a lot of jealous husbands and jealous wives kill people. And then sometimes it's the jealous one that's involved with that, you know, it just brings forth death.
It kills the ministry too.
How many ministries have been destroyed by that? Yeah.
Just say, look, you see all the, you know, murder mystery shows.
Yes.
It's they like to use that one.
Yeah. Murder. Mark?
Also reminds me of a verse in the song Bad, Bad Leroy Brown. Leroy ended up looking like a jigsaw puzzle with a bunch of pieces missing.
Oh, yeah. 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 Well, you know, loving God is the cure. Loving this present sinful world is the curse. If you have a love for the Lord and you're walking through your day singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, quoting Bible verses, tomorrow when you get up and start working, all of a sudden, burdens are lifted at Calvary. You know, that's the way it ought to be. You're welcome. And how many times would you like to be talking about something that is, you know, good and decent, and the other person doesn't? You know, just walk away. I mean, when you're at work and somebody starts telling the dirty jokes and everything, you don't have to get all pious and sanctimonious about it. Just walk away. Where are you going? I don't. And that's when you say, I just don't want to hear that. You'd be surprised how many times people over the years when I've pulled that, I don't try to, you know, yell at them or anything. I just walk away. Where are you going? I just don't want to hear that. I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to offend you. I mean, a lot of times that's how they respond. And if they don't, then they're not the kind of person you should be hanging around with.
Right.
But focus on your love of God throughout your day. You'll find so much less temptation whenever you look and see something, whether it's a woman or a car or gals, you see a man or whatever. You know, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what it is. Do you have your hand?
Were you going to go to Psalms 1, 1 through 2?
No.
Good. And that's still in your fire. Well, because you had to think about lust.
Yeah.
So Psalm, I heard it explained kind of like this. You know, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And the teacher I had compared it kind of to like David. You know, he saw her.
Yes.
And so he walked you know, over to look at her, and then he just stood there, and then he sat, and, you know, he was just gazing.
David
on
is
her.
A prime example of what we're talking about here.
Well, and then the second verse, though, goes exactly where you went.
Yes.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night.
That's right. And there are a number of places, but that Psalm 1, that is just one of those that come to mind a lot.
Yeah.
Let's look at 1 John 2. 1 John 2, we're talking about how the love of God is kind of the cure and the love of the world is the curse. 1 John 2, 15 to 17. 1 John 2, 15 is a memory verse for a lot of people. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's people who, they're throughout the day, they're feeding on the Hollywood smut, the nasty music, the gossip, the sex talk among coworkers or friends or whatever. Just all day long, sewage going in and out.
Yep.
Well, read verse 16. Read that with me. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And man, so much of this is in today's Christian culture. It just kills me when you see these modern music groups and Christian contemporary, whatever. And then the pictures on their album covers and everything, they're like, you know, or they got, you know, their shirts off. You know, you don't want to see that here, but I'm just saying. You know, it's just the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Christians shouldn't be putting off that kind of an image. And then when you listen to their music, it's all shallow and everything, that explains it. Verse 17 says, "And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever."
Amen.
It all comes back to you. Where's your attention? Who do you love? You love the Lord, or really the love of the world really is the love of self. We've talked about that numerous times the last few weeks. So back in James, closed up. James, a little marker I lost. My cheater's gone. Folded my page. So with all that, then we come to these words in James 1:16. Read it with me. Do not err, my beloved brethren. It's so simple. It really is so simple. Don't err. What does it mean? Don't
do that.
Don't do what we just saw described. Don't be drawn away of your own lust. Don't allow yourself to be enticed. Don't let lust conceive in your heart and bring forth sin, because in the end, it's death. Your choices will decide your end. Your choices. A lot of times, it even is not your choices just on those things, but your choice of how to respond when life isn't good to you. A lot of times, that's what will bring people down. So keep your focus, and you will keep your heart from going astray. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not going to look that up because we're running a little over, but God is the ultimate good. Keep your eyes on Him and stay the course. You can look that up on your own, Philippians 4, 4 through 9. But God is the ultimate good. Keep your eyes on Him and stay the course. That's where we'll pick up next time in our James study. Stand if you can. We're just going to have Jenny come forward, because this is kind of a special that I'm going to sing. But Brother Frank and Tino.
What's the number again?
Let me turn the thing here. You can turn your praise book to page 72. And you see on the page there, those of you who are with us, those on live stream can listen along. But you see there where it says, praise the Lord. You see it?
In the chorus.
In the chorus. See in the parentheses, praise the Lord. That's where you sing, praise the Lord. That's all you got to remember is those words. When I'll point, and you can sing with us. So let's sing, I am free. Go ahead. Once a time in life when I didn't want to live, I was much too proud to take anything God had to give, till I found the fruit of sin's consequences too severe. I fell flat upon my face and the Savior drew me near. I am free. Set up too bad.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right, onliners, bbfohioprotownmail.com, and my thing just snapped off. It's not broke. And then those of you here who got your prayer cards, bring them forward or hand them to Jenny and she'll bring them up. Okay. So let's say goodbye on three. One, two, three. See you here, there, or in the air. Good night.